Hello, friends, and welcome to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope this message will equip, encourage, and edify you in your journey of life. We'd love to connect with you. Please email us at info@coastlinecc.org. And for more information about our church and our services, visit coastlinecc.org. Now let's open our hearts and open God's Word. So as we're in this series, we've been going over and over different topics. It all points back to Jesus. It all points back to Jesus. So I want to help you this morning with something else. And before we do, I have some things I want to show you. Okay, this is backpack drive day, back to school. And I'll tell you, man, I've had a lot of blessings and miracles in my life. And there's no greater miracle than the week after Labor Day when the kids go back to school. Amen, parents. Hallelujah. Man, I feel that today in this house, in the Lord's house. Hallelujah. But, you know, my oldest is going into seventh grade. That's crazy for me, man. I'm kind of like having a hard time with that. You know, Sean, I'm like, oh, like, this is kind of weird. Like, I thought he was just still a baby, and now he's like this tall, and, you know, and it's just weird. And I got four boys for, I guess I have four boys, 12, 10, 8, and 6. My six-year-old's going to be 7, and they're all in school. My oldest is in 7th. My son, Seth, nonverbal autistic, he's going into 4th grade in the special needs class at his school and doing so good. My son, Charlie, is going into 3rd grade, which is wild. And then Brady, every teacher's favorite student. And I'll tell you, I'm not kidding. Like, last year's teachers, like, in the parent-teacher conference said, I don't think I'm supposed to say this, but I think he's kind of my favorite. I said, good, yeah, I'll take it. And I won't say what school he goes to because you're like, oh, my kid goes there. No, but Brady is going into 1st grade. And he's the one that said in the front row, like, I'm excited back to school. You're like, hey, just wait, kid. Okay, it's going to get harder and harder, you know. But my kids are getting older. And I want to show you some pictures of my kids. Again, my oldest is in 7th grade. This is Donald, my 7th grader. When he was, this was last year. No, I'm just kidding. This is like 6-7 years ago. And this is Donald, who is now like, I don't know, 3 feet taller, okay? And then Seth, some of you saw Seth running around, he's got the mop on his head, and he's just happy as him. And this is Sethy boy a while back too. Just like a model, right? My goodness. I could have made money on this kid if I wanted to. And there's Sethy, that was many years, probably right after we found out he had autism. And then here's Charlie, he's our one going into 3rd grade. Little Chuck, we call him Little Chucky. And not to be confused with the evil doll, okay? This is, no, sometimes maybe, but no, this is Charles, and he's adorable. And then little Brady boy, this kid, oh my goodness, Brady. This is when we were on deputation traveling the country. There's him eating a big box of popcorn on the bed. And then this, I had to show this video of Brady.
Brady. Where's my Brady? There he is. Where's my Brady?
Come on, that's good.
Brady. Where is he? Where's my Brady?
Too cute. Too cute. They're getting big, man. I have a, you remember when stores used to do like Sears and Target would have like photo studios in there. If you're that old, right? Okay, we're that old. I remember me and Marissa, I don't have them, thank God, she'd kill me. But when me and Marissa were dating, like 14, 15, we went to Target photo studio and took like dating pictures, boyfriend, girlfriend, with these matching blue plaid shirts, okay? I had hat hair. I had a short haircut, hat hair. And we did like the plastic, like back to back, like, It's horrible is what it is. But remember these little studios you could go into, like Babies R Us or whatever, when Babies R Us was still a thing? Well, we took before Brady was born, we took the kids, we got like a free Groupon, like, hey, it's, you know, $14 for a full photo shoot. I'm like, look at this great deal. Like, we can't afford not to do this. So we got the Groupon, went in, and we had the worst photo shoot of all time with these children, okay? They were so young. Here's them right here. There's Seth on the left, not caring about really anything. There's Donald. It's not bad, but then it continually gets worse, okay? As Seth begins to eat the baseball, Donald's like, this is dumb. What are we doing here? Charlie, again, is probably, you know, filling his diaper right there. And then it finalizes with Seth just completely giving up. Donald's trying to help and Charlie being there. And then we move on and oh my goodness, how did that get in there? Who could that be, Dan? Does anyone know who that is? That's me, Mercy. And is it not the cutest baby you have ever seen in your entire life, right? And oh my goodness, how'd that one get in there? I didn't even realize. That, oh wow. And then wow. And this is how I thank my mother for what she did to me with my dress style back in the day, right? But I'm showing you all these embarrassing photos because the message today goes right along with it. Thank God I don't look like this anymore, really. What do? We grow, don't we? We grow. A natural part of human life is growth. And often, as we grow physically and mentally, often we intellectually grow. As we get older, emotionally we grow. I'm a lot different than I was back then, obviously, in every way. But often, as we grow in all those areas, we can neglect growing spiritually. And the message today is on next level growth. Next level growth. Okay, I showed you all those pictures, and it's really a fitting message for even as the kids are going back to school, another year goes by, another grade older, and we're talking about next level growth. If you have your Bibles, you can go to Luke chapter 8. I have the verses on the screen if you need them, but Luke chapter 8, Jesus is telling a parable to a group of people. And a parable is just a illustrative story used to preach a truth and to tell a truth. And Jesus, it says in chapter 8 in verse number 4, as I'm turning there myself, and when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, I mean, he's got a crowd here, verse 4, he spake by a parable. Verse 5, a sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. And it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Verse 6, and some fell upon a rock. And as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Let's pray, and we'll jump right in. Lord, we love you. We thank you for being so good to us. We thank you for your love for us. Bless this message. Use me as I preach it, God. Please help me, Lord, to share your truths. Please help the hearts to be tender and ready to hear and ready to be challenged and convicted and helped. And God, give me your power this morning. I need it. Bless our backpack drive afterwards. Help us be a blessing to our community, to our people. And we thank you for all that you've done for us in your precious name. Amen. Now, when we talk about growth, we can also talk about people that don't grow and things that don't grow. If I was walking around town with a baby bottle full of warm milk, that would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? That wouldn't make a lot of sense. You'd say, that doesn't look right, man. You shouldn't be doing that. Plants that don't grow for whatever reason, that can be upsetting sometimes. You want your garden to grow. You want your veggies to come in. My wife loves planting flowers, and when the flowers don't grow or when there's a problem, I mean, that can be frustrating. Businesses that don't grow. Someone starts a business, pours their life into it, and they just can't seem to get the ball rolling. That can be a challenge. It's natural for us, church. It's natural for us to desire growth. From when you're a kid, I mean, listen, I was 4'11½" in seventh grade. And believe you me, I wanted to be taller. My desire was to grow as I'm looking up at every girl in the room, like, hey, want to be my girlfriend? You know, listen, I was this little peanut kid, man. It's natural from when you're a kid and you want to get taller to when you're an adult and you want to grow in your career. You know, it's natural to desire growth. But today, we aren't talking about growing taller. We're not talking about growing our bank accounts or growing a business or even growing a church. Hey, as a pastor, I want our church to grow. I want us to be able to reach more lives. But we're not talking about just numbers here or inches or money. Today is about next level growth. Whether you gave your heart to Jesus 25 years ago or 25 days ago, the truth is you should be growing. You should continually be growing. In church, if you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're dying. Our theme verse for this entire sermon series that we've been doing since January, Next Level Living, our theme verse in the book of Isaiah, when God is saying, I'm doing a new thing in you. Don't you see it? Listen, can I share a truth with you today, this morning, church, those who are here with us, and maybe those who will be listening online at a later time? Listen, God wants to do something in your life. Whether you are 15 or 65, it doesn't matter. God wants to do something in your life. God wants you to grow. God wants to change you from the inside out. God wants to make you into the person that He created you to be. It's not unreachable. And it's not impossible. God is doing, church, a new thing in you. And today is the day to receive it. So before we look at what next level growth looks like and how to get there, we want to look first from the passage at what hinders growth. Because growth is natural. I did end up getting taller, if you were wondering. It's natural. But there are some things that can hinder growth. And in our passage this morning, we saw three things that hindered the growth of the seeds from the sower, from the farmer. And you got to remember, when Jesus is preaching and when he's giving these parables, he's talking to people in Israel, in the Middle East, where things look different, where that culture looked differently. So we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. But he talked about the hard soil of the pathway. And the birds and things like that. He talked about that, the birds coming to take the seeds. He talked about the rockiness of the soil was another thing that hindered growth, where it couldn't grow. He talked about the thorns that choked out those seeds. We're going to look at each one of those things and what those things can mean to us this morning. So let's look first at Jesus' explanation. Because after he gives that parable, we see in verse number 9, his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be like? What do you mean by this, Jesus? In verse number 11, Jesus begins to tell them. Luke 8, verse 11. Jesus says, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, God's message, God's word for you, the gospel. Those by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. Verse number 13, we'll just read through these three. They on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. Verse 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. So we're going to look at these three things real quick before we jump into growth. And we won't be too long today, but what hinders growth? What stops our growth? What stunts our growth as believers? We want next level growth. We should desire that in our hearts, to take our growth to the next level and our walk with God to the next level. What hinders that, though? Number one, we see in verse number 5 that hard hearts hinder growth. Now, Jesus is calling out in this passage, he's calling out the religious elites. In this passage, the Pharisees were what they were called, those who had all the religious knowledge and were just students of the Old Testament and had made up all these extra rules, man-made rules to try. And they were just very pious, very arrogant, and they thought that they were just the man. They were like, I'm the man and no one can stop me. Jesus is calling them out when he starts with this. That these religious Pharisees, they refused to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. Jesus is the Messiah. And they were like, no, it can't be him. We're expecting somebody that's different, that looks different. Some warrior king. That's our Messiah. They can't be him. They refused to believe that he was the Messiah. And they were those birds that the pastor talked about that stole the seed away out of those hearts, out of the ground. They refused to lay aside their preconceived notions and man-made laws and rituals for something better. And that something better was Jesus. Now, on those pathways in Israel, obviously there were dirt roads. And the more they were walked on, they would get packed down just like they would nowadays here on the Cape. So when you threw seed, when the sower would just kind of throw the handfuls of seed to try to help, someone bounce on the road. And if in time they may have been watered down, but because they would just land right on top and didn't go into the ground, the birds would come and steal them away. Some of the hardness of the world's hearts. And if you look around for just a moment, church, you'll recognize that the world today, whether you're on Cape Cod or whether you're in Seattle or wherever else, listen, the people's hearts today often are hardened to the gospel. We think we have it all together. The world thinks they don't need answers. They don't need church. They don't need God. I can make a life for myself. And it's easy that those hearts are hardened and they don't accept the gospel and they reject the gospel. But before we look out into the world, maybe look at our own hearts. Because we can be believers that have trusted in Christ at one point in our lives, but those hearts that once believed in the faithfulness of God now kind of try to do things on our own. Even as believers, hearts that once were willing to do whatever God was calling them to do, now, you know, we have our own agenda. Christians who at one time yearned for the voice of God in their hearts and couldn't wait to see what God had to say, now the voices in our lives are much louder than God's voice, whether it's the voice of our job or our desires or whatever it may be. Our hearts have been hardened. Now that we've been saved, we've been in church a while, we've gotten used to it. We're just used to it. That's why when the worship starts, when God wants to stir your heart and your worship should flow out of a thankful and grateful and worshipful heart, we're kind of just going with the motions. Our hearts have been hardened. Our cynical hearts have hardened, even as believers. Oh, we're saved. Man, if you gave your heart to Christ, if you trusted in Jesus, he saved you. Nothing can take that away. But we're saved, but we're not serious about the kingdom. Can I say that again? We're saved, church, but we're not serious about the kingdom. We're saved, but we're not set apart for God's plans. Our hearts are hard. Those desert roads in Israel would dry up and harden from the hot sun and the lack of rain at times. And we allow ourselves, church, Christian today, we allow ourselves to get under the exposure of the world and their how they view things and their viewpoints of the world. Their world, we allow that to cloud our judgment. And instead of looking at the world and looking at life through the eyes of the Spirit of God, we look at it through the eyes of just someone that doesn't know Jesus. All the while never being flooded with the living water of God's Word in His presence. And of course our hearts are going to harden. You heard the phrase garbage in, garbage out? Talk about it when you're dieting, maybe. You know, whether or just how you treat people. I mean, if you're filling your mind with things that you shouldn't, it's going to come out. Garbage in, garbage out. Self-centered worldview in, self-centered actions out. That's just how it works. We aren't growing because our hearts are hard. And maybe it's not just hardened by that. Maybe your hearts have been hardened because of some hurt or some loss in your life. That's not something to, you know, that can't happen. Maybe your hearts are hardened by some hurt in your life, some loss in your life. And what once you believed and you had faith and you trusted God, something has happened in your life. And suddenly, the only voice that matters in your life is your own. There's been some hurt. Or some loss. Let the living water break up your fallow ground. Jesus can do that. He wants to do that. So you can grow again. Well, how else? What else hinders growth? Not just hard hearts, but we see in the next verse, shallow hearts. Shallow hearts. Verse 6 says this. We said that some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moistures. In some cases, you meet Jesus. You get saved and you instantly begin to grow. I've seen this so many times. Man, you discover and you meet Jesus and your life has changed and you feel that peace in your heart that you long for so long and you're excited and you're growing and you're bold and you're ready to do whatever God is calling you to do happily and you're ready to go. And then something happens. Difficulty hits. Something deters you. And your growth is stunted. Sometimes in those fields in Israel, the ground looks fine. It was obviously very rocky soil in Israel. And everything looks good on the surface. You know, there's soil there. But just a few inches below that soil is just rock. So you can plant a seed, and because that rock is there underneath just a few inches, anytime it's watered, man, that moisture is going to stay right up there by the surface. Of course, you're going to have this instant, beautiful growth. But the roots can't go down any farther. It's too shallow. That soil, that heart, is still holding on to something other than Jesus. Still holding on to something other than Jesus. Oftentimes, church, we treat the Christian life like a new toy or a new car. When that new car smell wears off, we're kind of like, you know, it kind of loses its luster. That new toy is going to, you know, need new batteries. It's going to break soon. That honeymoon is over in marriage, and now real life marriage problems start, and it's like challenging. Listen, if your car loses its new car smell, you're just going to bring it to the junkyard immediately? No. Do we just walk away from the one that we committed to because things get hard in the beginning? No. We push through. We get those rocks of insecurity and doubt and fear and pride and unrealistic expectations, and we throw them in the river and we let those roots grow down. Some of us today, God wants to grow you. God is trying to help you grow, but we are so shallow in our hearts. We have things that are more important to us, and when difficulty and challenge hits, we say, man, that's it. This isn't worth it. God obviously doesn't care. He's obviously not listening to me. When in reality, those challenges, those trials, those heartaches are meant to grow you. God is going to use those trials and use those heartaches and use those problems to make you into a better person. That's what he wants to do in your life. Is stony ground keeping you from growth? Is a shallow heart keeping you from going to the next level in your relationship with God? Think about it, church. Not only shallow hearts, but the last one we see here is this. Verse 7, wandering hearts. Verse 7 says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. This one is probably the most common, church, because weeds can sometimes be just as green as grass. So we settled. We were working in our backyard over the summer. We had all this weeds and thorns and bramble kind of surrounding a large area of the house that we're renting. That's a kind of beautiful yard. And we thought, man, we should just clear this out. So we did. It took a lot of work, but we got in there and we wrapped it all down and trimmed it all down and then dug it all out to try to help that soil. And the farther down we got, we realized it was bad. I mean, it wasn't just like little weeds. It was roots and vines that were thick, and you couldn't just, you know, you'd have to hack them with a hatchet or pull them out. And every time you tried to pull up one root, you'd realize that it connected to like 15 other ones down the way. And it was wild. It was a lot of work. And even as we began to let that grow back, we didn't want the dirt back there. We noticed we planted grass, we planted wildflower seeds, but the more things grew, we realized that the majority of what was growing back, guess what it was? It was still the same weeds and brambles, and you know, they were green, and we were okay with that. They were green, but after a while, you're like, man, they grow so fast, first of all. I mean, some of those things were as tall as I was. And some of us, church, we're doing just fine. We're doing just fine. Hey, that yard looked fine. It was green. It was nice. It was obviously growing. That's growth, isn't it? Some of you are doing just fine. You're working. You're living. You're laughing. You're doing just fine. You think, God can't be mad at me. I'm doing pretty good. I love my neighbor. I go to church. I give my tithe. I don't cuss out my boss. You know, I raise my kids. I help the poor, etc., etc., etc. But beneath the surface, church, something else is growing. Oh, it's not a rock. It's something that's growing. Some of us have growth in our lives, but it's the kind of growth that you don't want. You see, your selfishness is growing. Your desire for more things is growing. Your craving for a relationship is growing. Your desperate need for attention is growing. Your list of everything you need to make you happy and at peace is growing. The things of this world, your unhealthy attachment to those things is growing. And what looks like growth is actually killing healthy growth. Some of us are just so consumed with stuff, and I am so guilty of this sometimes, church. I am so guilty of this. We're choked out by the things of this world. A newer car, a better job, a perfect body, a nice house, a full church. When truly our heart should be focused on one thing and one thing alone, and that is Jesus Christ. But we settle for weeds, we settle for thorns, we settle for waste. And they choke us out. They choke out any kind of growth that God wants to do in our lives. So what is choking your growth, church? What in your life is more important than Jesus to you? And he would say, nothing, nothing is. Okay, then show me what you spend your money on. Show me what your daily routine looks like. Show me what your Sunday looks like. Show me how you treat others. Show me how you worship. Listen, you're not growing, you're just surviving. You're just surviving, you're just there. That's not growth. Hard hearts, shallow hearts, wandering hearts. But like I said, growth is not impossible, church. In fact, it's very possible. Even when it seems impossible, even when others think it's impossible, growth is possible. Many of you, besides our guests, know our son, Seth. You know my son, Seth. He's 10 years old. He has had autism. We've known he's had autism since he was about 4 years old. And Seth, when we found out we were in Michigan, and it was a challenge, and many of you have heard the story, so I don't want to get into it, but Seth is nonverbal, and Seth, that doesn't mean he's mute, by the way. People say, oh, I heard him. You know, he makes a lot of noise. But communication-wise, that's what they use, the word nonverbal. He's nonverbal. And there's a lot of challenges that come with that. And many of you understand that. Maybe you live with it, someone in your family or someone that you know. But it's a challenge. And autism, especially Seth's level of autism, is one of those unknowns where you just don't know how much you'll progress. You always have very kind-hearted and good-intentioned people that say, oh, you know, I knew something like that, and you know, then, you know, when they turned this age, then they just started talking, or, oh, and then we tried using this, and then that helped them, and, oh, then this, you know, or oh, what skill does he have? People think that everybody with autism can, like, play the piano or, like, hear music, and that's just not the case. So over the last, my goodness, 6-7 years, Seth has been part of ABA services and therapies and things like that that have worked to help him. And I want to show you a video from 2 nights ago. Okay, remember, Seth is nonverbal, autistic. For the longest time, really, I didn't hear my son say, I love you, for a long time. You know, and we weren't like mad at him. It's just one of those challenges. But this was a few nights ago, and I'll show it to you, and I hope you'll be able to read it as well. It's a video.
I'm by. What's your name?
Seth.
Seth, good job.
Okay.
Hey, where do you live?
Okay. Yeah.
Brewster, yay! Okay, one more. Sit. Hey, how old are you?
10.
Good job.
It was a lot of years that, you know, that's like a miracle for us, you know? It wasn't like Seth will say anything. You can say, Seth, say this, and he'll say that. But to answer a question on his own with no, like, you know, just how old are you, 10? Where do you live, Brewster? And I know, you know, Brewster. I love how he says it. What's your name? Seth. That's growth for Seth. Luke chapter 8. See, Jesus didn't just tell them what hindered growth, but he, and I didn't read the verses yet on purpose, but he shared after each part of his parable and his explanation, what does give growth. And we see it in verse number 8. After he talked about the rocks and the hard path and the thorns, he said in verse 8, and another fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he explained the parable in the later verses in verse 15, he says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. So how can I grow? How can I experience next level growth? Well, Jesus said it. And it's going to sound simpler than you think it is, but I want to show you It's simple. What does Jesus say in verse 15? Those who hear the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. Listen to the word that God has for you. That's not just a sermon, by the way. That's part of it, sure. That's definitely part of it, a sermon that's preached on a Sunday morning. But the word that God has for you, yes, at church, yes, the worship, yes, the message. But in your time with God, in your own personal devotions, when you're in prayer, hey, when you're driving in the car and listening to worship music or whatever it may be, listen, God has a word for you. God has been trying to speak, and it's almost like he's been yelling and you still haven't been listening. Maybe it's the word of a friend that speaks into your life and you're like, how dare they say that? No, maybe that's God using that person to try to help you, try to help you grow. Listen to the word that God has for you. And when you hear it, follow it, practice it, acknowledge it, keep it as the word says. Keep it. And when you hear the word that God has for you, and when you keep it and begin to hold it in your heart, remember it's in Psalms, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. That word that he has for us, we hear it, we keep it, and then what do? We go and spread it like wildfire. We go and pass it on to others. The word of comfort that you get from God, the word of comfort that you get from a friend, why don't you take that word of comfort and go give it to someone else who's in need of comfort? That's growth. That is next level growth. You're hearing truth this morning, church. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go home and get rid of some stuff that's holding you back? That's choking you? Things that you're just obsessed with? And that they cloud and take all of your time, attention? Are you going to give some hurt and unforgiveness over to God and let him soften that hard heart? Are you going to start disciplining yourself, creating good spiritual habits that are done out of a love for God and not just out of performance or just an old habit? Even your Sunday mornings. Listen, Sunday mornings, it's oftentimes, and I'm guilty of this too sometimes as the pastor, where it's like, okay, I'm going to get up. And like, it's like you get up at the last second. You're rushing out the door. And it's like, God's like, man, this is my day. Man, you're going to meet with my people. Like, this is your time to worship me as a community. And you're treating it like it's like you're late for a cup of coffee. Church. We need growth. Are you going to start evaluating your choices, your finances, how you spend your time, how you talk to others, and run it through the filter of God's truth? Am I treating people the way God would have me? Am I spending my finances the way God would have me? You're going to start sharing your faith? I mean, there's a big table right here, back by these two double doors, with church invites. Alex stacked them. There's like 40 stacks of tracts there. Invitations to church. Come join us. This and that. You matter to Jesus. There's even some for local businesses. Thank you for your business in the back. It's got the gospel. Man, are we going to grab some of those this week and get them in people's hands? Start sharing our faith. Start spreading that word like wildfire. Loving people to Jesus. You going to get up early? Spend time with Jesus before that long, hard day at work or school? Praying for his grace. Praying for his blessing. Praying for his boldness, praying for his love to flow through you. It's time to make some adjustments, church. Myself included. Be good soil. Be soil that produces growth. Listen to that word, keep it and spread it. We've got to make changes. Listen, you not growing is never God's fault. You not growing is never God's fault. It's always ours. It's always mine. Thank you again for listening to the Coastline Baptist Church podcast. We hope the message was an encouragement to your heart. Please connect with us through our website, coastlinecc.org, or on Facebook or Instagram. Send us a message, send us an email, and we'd love to connect with you. We'd also love if you could visit us for a Sunday morning service. You can find our address on our website, and our services start at 10 a.m. Our mission at Coastline is simply this: to know Jesus deeply and to show Jesus daily. I hope that we've helped you do that in your life today. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week.